Witness and Friend. National Review, August 6, 2001. Originally delivered July 9, 2001 at the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, Washington, D.C. Adapted from The End of Whittaker Chambers, Esquire, September 1962. We were to meet at the National Gallery here in Washington, and I had been waiting for him at the specified corner. I spotted him far down the corridor. It could only have been he or Alfred Hitchcock. The Sunday before, he had asked me to come down that day, the 8th of June. We had lunch. He had asked me to keep the evening free. "You've guessed what's up, haven't you?" he asked, his face wreathed in smiles. "I haven't the least idea." "John," he said proudly. His son would be married that afternoon, and I was to go to the wedding and the reception. As he stepped into the elevator that evening after the ceremony, I saw him framed by the door, his hand and Esther's clutched together, posing while his son-in-law popped a camera in his face, a grim reminder of all those flashbulbs 10 years before. I never saw him again. He died a month later, on July 9, 1961, 40 years ago exactly. Free at last. I first met Chambers in 1954. An almost total silence had closed in on him. 2 years earlier, he had published Witness. When the preface of Witness appeared as a feature in the Saturday Evening Post, that issue of the magazine sold a startling 500,000 extra copies on the newsstand. The book came out with a great flurry. The bitterness of the Hiss trial had not subsided. For some of the reviewers, Hiss's innocence had once been a fixed rational conviction, then blind faith. And now, after the publication of that overwhelming book, rank superstition. But the nature of the author was not grasped by the reviewers. "I am a heavy man," Chambers once wrote me, apologizing for staying 2 days at my home. There is a sense in which that was true. But he never appreciated, as others could do, the true gaiety of his nature, the appeal of his mysterious humor, the instant